Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. We all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this crazy world. So welcome to the 492nd edition of SDG, titled Crisis Update 2021, number 5. Now, stay tuned because you're going to hear important information that the fake news doesn't want you to know, folks. And then later in this message, we're going to tie it all into Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through the beginning of 14, which reads, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." And we covered that last week. And then you'll be able to withstand in the evil day. And I'd say we're there now, folks. And having done all, to stand. And then it begins in verse 14. Stand therefore. So, folks, remember what Sun Tzu told us. If you know your enemy, you'll win half the time. If you know yourself, you'll win half the time. And if you know your enemy and yourself, you're going to win all the time. So stay tuned to learn what we as Christian warriors need to do in this fifth generation covert unconventional war. And that's what it is, folks. It's a war. It's not a game. It's a war. Right now it's information war, but I'm telling you, folks, this is a war. It's a battle for our minds right now, but it's going to advance, and I'll explain that to you a little later in this message. I'm telling you, folks, the bottom line though is that as believers, you and me in this world, we're not of this world, but we're in it right now. And we have victory in Jesus Christ. We already have victory in Jesus. So I'm asking you, I'm imploring you, I'm beseeching you, refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And then I just want to encourage you all to remember how this all started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. But for right now, folks, what we're going to do, want to do this over the next several weeks because there's so much information in these, but what I want to do, get into the latest news, folks, what I want to do is look at some of the past episodes, and we've been doing this over the last 3 or 4 weeks, but I'd like to look at some of the past episodes, and this week we're going to begin with the episode from October 24th, 2020, episode 476, and it was titled Election and Lucifer. Now, you might be wondering, why are you titling all these recent titles with the word Lucifer in the name? Well, that's because the protocols, and that's all I'm going to say, that's because of the protocols. And if you want to know more, I'll send you the protocols so you can read them yourself. But I cover them in these messages. Just email me at kdbear1961@gmail.com if you want to know a little more about that. So in this episode, we talked about 5G, okay, and coronavirus, and the correlation between the two. And then we covered this incredible book titled The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg. And that's all I'm going to say on that. So if you want to know more, go back to the October 24th, 2020 episode and listen to that part. And then remember, folks, we talked about Biden. And one of the things that he kept talking about during the entire election campaign, and I don't know if you remember what that was. You remember the dark winter? Well, here it is.
Vice President Biden, your reaction, and just 40% of Americans say they would definitely agree to take a coronavirus vaccine if it was approved by the government. What steps would you take to give Americans confidence in a vaccine if it were approved?
Make sure it's totally transparent. Have the scientists of the world see it, know it, look at it, go through all the processes. And by the way, this is the same fellow who told you this is going to end by Easter last time. This is the same fellow who told you that, don't worry, we're going to end this by the summer. We're about to go into a dark winter, a dark winter.
Did you hear him? Go through all the processes? Well, the one process that this quote-unquote vaccine didn't go through was phase three clinical. And that's because every time it has, the test animals die when inoculated with the target pathogen, because their body goes into what's best described as a storm, a cytochrome storm. And this storm literally kills the body. Folks, this isn't a vaccine. This is gene therapy. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. Okay, but folks, it's ugly. It's ugly. And I don't think people know or understand what's going on here. But all I can say is if you don't want to become a victim, if you don't want to become a mass casualty in this war, then wake up. Remember Deagle? I've been talking about Deagle now for probably the last 10, 15 years. And this is a compiler of all sorts of military intelligence. And it looks at everything from the military assets of every country and their GDP to populations. And listen to this 3-minute and 41-second clip doing a very good summary of what Deagle 2025 is.
What will happen in 2025? An international forecasting website, Deagle.com, published an interactive graph where it projects future prospects or trends for any nation in the world that you click on. Although the graph has been updated since 2013, their site currently charts changes in population, GDP, and other national factors of almost every country in the world from 2017 to 2025, allowing you to easily cross-compare the statistics. They forecast that from 2017 to 2025, the United States population will be cut down to less than a third of its size, from 327 million to 100 million, while the UK is whittled down to almost a sixth of its 2017 size, 66 million to 15 million. France loses nearly half of their population, while Germany is inexplicably trimmed down from 81 million to 28 million. During this same stretch of time, China and Russia are projected to maintain the same population, while India and Brazil grow by a few million more people. Why are populations dramatically disappearing in such a short amount of time? And why 2025? Deagle's forecast says that the U.S.'s GDP will fall from $19 trillion to $1.6 trillion, less than a tenth of its former self from 2017. The U.K. drops from $2.9 trillion to $132 billion, while Canada, France, and Germany follow suit, dropping from the trillions to the hundreds of billions in GDP. However, China and Russia are expected to grow their GDP by $1 trillion and over $2 trillion respectively, while Brazil maintains a stable GDP at $3.2 trillion and India loses only $2 trillion of its projected $7.3 trillion. The defense budget for each Western nation follows the same trend, a sharp drop in the billions. While as predictably predicted by Deagle.com, China, Russia, India, and Brazil increase their defense budget in the double and triple digit billions, clearly showing a major shift in national military power worldwide. Countries associated with the Economic Development Group known as BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, China, arrive in a future with greater population stability, a growing GDP, and a booming defense budget. Why does Deagle predict such a bleak 2025 for North America and Europe? Little is known about the owners of Deagle.com, but according to their own website, Deagle is partners with and clients of the NSA, NATO, the World Bank, the United Nations, and other national and international agencies. They say the economic and demographic data used in the making of their forecasts is widely available by institutions such as the CIA, IMF, UN, and USG. Also, they make it clear that they are, quote, not linked to any government in any way, shape, or form. Either way, what will happen in 2025? And why do multiple other publications predict 2025 to be a tumultuous year? This is Brian Wilson with InfoWars.com.
I think he summed it up very well. And then later in that message, 476 from October 24th, we reviewed depopulation quotes from a diverse group of people spanning over 100 years. You know, even Teddy Roosevelt got into it. Then there was Ted Turner, founder of the Club of, Ted Turner, who founded CNN, and then the founder of the Club of Rome, and then even Mikhail Gorbachev and Kissinger. Heck, even Jacques Cousteau got into depopulation mantras. And then don't forget, even Big Oil is in on it. Listen to this opener from one of James Corbett's documentaries on Big Oil.
The negative impact of population growth is becoming appallingly evident.
Heirs to an oil fortune join the divestment drive.
In a highly symbolic gesture, the Rockefeller family will sell off its assets linked to fossil fuel companies.
A slump in global oil prices has Saudi Arabia rethinking its near total dependence on oil revenue.
We should be focusing on it, and we should be curbing our, you know, appetite for carbon-intensive products and services. But the problem is it's got a lot of room for debate.
Obviously, the Rockefellers are making this move as an environmental one, but also from an investment standpoint, this also makes plenty of business sense.
You can't simply carry on business the way you're doing it now. There is a price to carbon in their future.
What do you see as the biggest challenges in conservation?
The growing human population.
It's there, folks. It's all there. That first lazy old voice you heard was David Rockefeller. And then they set it up for the global warming scam. And that's all about taking out fossil fuel, as they call it, but it's not even technically fossil fuel. And that's this idea of limited supply and peak oil. And that's all tied to the petrodollar. And boy, is what a web. What a web we have from these Kosarian mobsters and the debt money system that they brought us under. But then we also covered the Great Reset. And then moving on to episode 477 from October 31st. And that one we focused on prayer and Lucifer. Did you ever hear of microbots? Well, if not, go back and listen to that episode. Actually, they're nanobots. And they're made using the same process that is used to manufacture computer chips. And then they're broken up into all these individual components and dispersed into some fluid, even a vaccine or a medical device that's being foisted upon America as a vaccine. But whatever it is, listen to this clip. And I'm not sure I'm going to play the whole thing, but it's a little description of what a microbot is.
These are the legs of a tiny army of robots. So small, they are dwarfed by a single-celled paramecium. 50 years of development in microelectronics have given us a fantastic array of tiny computer systems. But that is only half the puzzle. A robot also needs to move. And now, researchers have created a brand new type of actuator which can do it, giving the tiny brains some brawn. Up until now, making moving parts at the micron scale has proven tricky. Conventional designs often don't function very well when they're that small, while others work but rely on mechanisms like magnetism which can't be easily integrated into existing electronic systems. But the new design, called a surface electrochemical actuator, can be fabricated using similar processes to those used to produce microchips. That means the tiny legs can be added directly to the devices that control them. To make the legs, a 7-nanometer thick sheet of platinum is coated on one side with an inactive material like graphene. The legs are then patterned using a technique called lithography, and the excess material is removed. In order to work, the legs need to be in water, but the concept is relatively simple. When a current is passed through the platinum, charged water particles are attracted to the uncoated surface. The force of these particles binding to the metal creates stress on one side of the sheet, and that is what makes it bend. By reinforcing sections of the sheet, the bending can be controlled more specifically. And voila, a tiny robot leg. The robots are equipped with two minuscule solar cells. By shining a laser on each one, researchers can create the voltage which activates the front or back legs. These new actuators allow the tiny circuit to move, and because they are created using the same well-understood manufacturing processes as semiconductor electronics, their production can be easily scaled, making millions of tiny robots at the same time. Swarms of robots so small that they can be injected through a hypodermic syringe and collected using a pipette. Now, at the moment, they can't do much, but their compatibility with existing microelectronics makes them versatile. In theory, new actuators based on these designs could be combined with more complex devices to carry out a whole range of more sophisticated tasks. The researchers have pointed to everything from fighting cancer to tackling crop pests. But that is decades away. Time will tell if these first small steps for micro-robots could be a giant leap for micro-robotics.
So folks, you could take this technology, disperse it in a quote-unquote vaccine, and then expose the victim to a radio wave, an EMF signal, and activate the microbot. So I have two words for this technology: kill switch. So along with the Great Reset, you're hearing more and more about depopulation and sustainability. And remember the Georgia Guidestones, 500 million sustainable population. Well, we're over 700 million now, folks. That's why Deagle 2025 is projecting a population for America at that point at one-third of our current population. That's what these mRNA vaccines are all about. That's what the scamdemic's all about. That's what the Great Reset's all about, folks. That's why you see these draconian measures coming out of White House right now with this Biden regime. It's all there. It's all there. Now, along with the Great Reset and the sustainability and the population, we covered and we began exhaustively to cover what was going on with the election. And we reviewed that American Thinker article warning about all hell breaking loose post-election 2020. And that's just about what happened. We cited the Claremont Institute's report, 79 days report it was referred to, and the Texas Policy Foundation's report. They both warned, and they were prepping, this was predictive programming, prepping the population that we wouldn't have the final election results even the day after, because of these six key battleground states. And that's exactly what happened: Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, and Nevada and Arizona. Isn't that interesting? And then how Fox called that early with 2% of the votes in Arizona. Folks, this was collusion. This was conspiracy. This was fraud. Yet today, if you see anything about it, what's going on? And then how about this wickedness that we hear in Kamala Harris's voice? Listen to this.
No. Stage blessing.
Well, actually.
Folks, there's something wrong with that woman. And then do you remember when Biden was asked about his choice of Harris? And he mentioned that she was as smart as a devil. Listen to this.
He is smart as a devil. He is smart as a devil. He is smart as a devil.
She's as smart as a devil? I had to repeat that because it was such a short portion of the clip. And then, you know, Biden claims that he's a good Catholic, yet he goes on to say there's no miracles. Do you remember him talking about that? No miracles? Let's see if I have that one. No miracles. Let's see if really doesn't matter, but he basically gets up there and says there are no miracles, folks. Yet he wants to pull us all together. He wants to unite us. But all we have to stand upon is fear. And when you operate from a position of fear, you're easily controlled. And I'd like to get into that a little bit later. Folks, this guy who claims to be this good Catholic has all these policies that do nothing but open the gates of hell to all sorts of hardship and perversions. And then I got to keep moving because we got a show to do here, but I want to do these updates. Episode 478, we did that back the first weekend after election 2020, and we titled it our first election 2020 report. And we were doing all sorts of things, all sorts of warnings about what would happen if this thing isn't reversed, if justice doesn't prevail. And remember Harris talking about equity versus equality? And there's nothing in the Constitution. The only thing we're supposed to have is equal protection under the law so that we can pursue life, liberty, and happiness. We're not guaranteed happiness, but listen to how this is the narrative is being twisted now from equal protection to equity. Listen to this.
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests, everyone should get the same amount. The problem with that, not everybody's starting out from the same place. So if we're all getting the same amount, but you started out back there and I started out over here, we could get the same amount, but you're still going to be that far back behind me. It's about giving people the resources and the support they need so that everyone can be on equal footing and then compete on equal footing. Equitable treatment means we all end up at the same place.
It's about, what's about? Communism is about giving everybody this equity. But then don't forget George Orwell's Animal Farm, where all the animals were equal, except the pigs were a little bit more equal than everyone else. And then that reminds me of a book written by Kurt Vonnegut, Harrison Bergeron. He was a very athletic, good man, healthy, good genes, but he had too much in strength, too much in good looks, and he had to be normalized. He had to be equalized. That was a very good play on where this collectivistic thought takes you, folks. It really isn't what you think it is. And then let's not forget Biden's Build Back Better slogan. You remember that one? Well, it wasn't actually his idea. He's just playing along with the deep state narrative and all their ilk. He took it from the World Economic Forum. Folks, when they say we've got to build back better, and they say we have to reinvent capitalism, that's going along the same lines of what we just heard Kamala Harris say. This is all a very controlled narrative, folks. So when they talk about reinventing capitalism and moving away from what's known as shareholder capitalism, so you invest money, and then a group of people come together and collect these capital assets, and then they find people who are willing to exchange their time for compensation, and you have this relationship. And what it does is it creates wealth. But now they want to go from shareholder to stakeholder capitalism. It's not actually capitalism, it's communism. And like I said, George Orwell said, all the animals on the farm, they're equal, except some are more equal than others. And in that story, the pigs were the ones who basically took control. So quite frankly, what we have going on right now here in this swamp called Washington, D.C., with tens of thousands of troops surrounding it, is, and we're sitting on the precipice of communism, folks. And all I can say to that is, Lord, come quickly, judge that city and corrupt government. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. And then along in that same episode, episode 478 from November 7th, like I said, we were comprehensively and exhaustively covering all the election fraud as it was coming out. You know, from the 130,000 vote dump in Detroit early on November 4th to Biden bragging about the most comprehensive voter fraud organization in the history of politics. Do you remember that? And then how about Jared de Blasio talking about Biden stealing the election? Folks, it's all there. Voter fraud. Listen to the one from Biden on
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Now, people said, well, that's a slip of the tongue. Well, remember, this is the commander-in-chief, POTUS, a candidate for POTUS. Was it a slip of the tongue? Listen to what de Blasio's daughter said.
For me, it's really special because now we have the first Black Asian female president in office, elected, and Joe Biden was able to steal my office. This is win. All right,
is that a new failure?
No, the ability to win, then I can
Oh, and then don't forget Hillary Clinton advising Biden never to concede.
So we've got to have a massive legal operation. I know the Biden campaign is working on that. We have to have poll workers, and I urge people who are able to be a poll worker. We have to have our own teams of people to counter the force of intimidation that the Republicans and Trump are going to put outside polling places. This is a big organizational challenge, but at least we know more about what they're going to do. And, you know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out, and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
Folks, that's right out of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Accuse the other side of doing what you're going to do. And that's exactly what we've seen since this whole election steal. You know, if I say too many words together or the wrong words, I get deplatformed. I just literally, this program goes down, and it's happened a few times now. And it's crazy how much control there is. And if there's nothing here, if this is just a conspiracy theory, what's the big deal? Oh, and don't forget we covered Hammer and Scorecard in that same episode. Then moving on to episode 479 on November 14th, that was election update 2020 number 2. We talked about the dark winter and how it could have possibly been brought into the collective consciousness, become a meme of the sheeple, so to speak, by a predictive programming method in video games. This was a Tom Clancy licensed video game alluding to this dark wind pandemic. Listen to this bumper or this promo clip for this video game that came out back on November 14th. No, not November 14th. It came back in, I think, 2013, but just listen to this.
Peggy 18.
In 2001, a real-world exercise tested the emergency response to a bioterror attack on the continental United States. The operation was called Dark Winter. Within just a few days, the simulation spiraled out of control. The operation predicted a rapid breakdown in essential institutions, civil disorder, and massive civilian casualties. Dark Winter has revealed how vulnerable we've become. Our lifestyle, our security, our safety, depends on a delicate and unstable economy. We've created a system so complicated that we no longer understand how to control it. Oil, power, shipping, transport. We live in a complex world. And the more complex it gets, the more fragile it becomes. The system is built on a global supply chain that gets things where they're needed, just in time. We've created a house of cards. Remove just one, and everything falls apart. And what's fueling the system?
Money. Americans can spend $90 billion in a single day of shopping. Last year, 200 million people swarmed their local stores on November 23rd. We call that day Black Friday. Did you know that a flu virus can survive on the surface of a banknote for up to 17 days? One day there will be a pandemic. It could begin during the crush of Black Friday sales. A pathogen will jump from tainted banknotes to human skin, onto food, toys, children, and loved ones. By the time patient zero feels the first sore throat, millions of people will already be infected. From this point, the breakdown will happen fast.
Day one, hospitals will reach capacity. Panic will strike. Day two, quarantine zones will be established. Resources will be rationed. Transport will go into lockdown. Day three, international trade will stop. The oil will dry up. The stock market will collapse. Day four, the power will fail. The shelves will be empty. The taps will run dry. And once hunger and despair take hold, people will do anything for survival. By day five, everyone will be a potential threat.
In 2007, a new presidential directive was signed quietly into law. This maps out the government's response to a crisis, a plan to cope with a real dark winter. It is known as Directive 51. There are rumors of shadow agencies, sleeper cells, covert agents, but nothing can be confirmed.
Our complex world is primed for breakdown.
And once the chaos strikes,
there won't be resources to save us all.
The only question left is, what will it take to save what remains?
Folks, that was a promo clip for a video game. That wasn't some news clip from InfoWars or the Gateway Pundit. A promo clip for a video game. Predictive programming on so many levels, folks. We could do an entire show just breaking that down. Remember, we covered the movie Snowpiercer last week, more predictive programming. And then we covered a book in that same episode, A Blast from the Past, titled Vote Scam. Folks, I read that book back in the 90s. It was written by two brothers, James and Kenneth Collier. And I've known about Vote Scam for a long time, but nothing on the magnitude we saw last year. Even Ted Cruz, I call him the flip-flopper in chief. He always seems to end up on the winning side. Right now, he thinks that Trump lost. Perhaps he did. But you can tell where Ted's going to land by whatever the wind, what direction the wind's blowing. Listen to Ted Cruz saying that the media doesn't decide elections.
Senator Ted Cruz sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee. He was part of President George W. Bush's 2000 Florida recount team. And, Senator, it's always an honor to have you on this program. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Maria. It's good to be with you.
First, assess where we are. You heard this weekend what we saw in terms of president-elect and vice-president-elect from the media. What do you believe is the status of this race?
Well, I think that is way premature. At this point, we do not know who has prevailed in the election. The media is desperately trying to get everyone to coronate Joe Biden as the next president, but that's not how it works. The media does not get to select our president. The American people get.
He goes on to say the media doesn't select the American people get to, but then he flip-flopped. And I got tired of hearing him, so I cut him off. But that's what it is, folks. Comprehensive, documented voter fraud. Yet nobody, including these high and mighty senators who claim that the people get to select, they don't even investigate it. You know, we had the Asian poll watcher who was appalled, the woman from Detroit, and then the Democratic poll watcher from Philadelphia, very upset with what he saw. And how about all the United States Postal Service workers, the whistleblowers coming out talking about what their supervisors told them to do? And then that contractor who drove that tractor trailer down to Harrisburg from New York, full of ballots, and then he lost the chain of custody on that tractor trailer. And how about Pelosi and Feinstein and their links to Dominion? Oh, and don't forget the law firm who represents Dominion. Oh, Kamala Harris's husband sits on that law firm. You know, folks, I could go on and on about this. And the thing that I find most appalling is all these things I'm covering with you. I have a really good clip. Shows the media coverage of this. And I just want to play it. It's a very short one.
But now it's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update.
And as always, folks, we're going to begin it with coronavirus update. So there's a good report out. It was from tapwirenews.com, written by Art Moore. It was more of a compilation of some news that came out from other outlets, but I just wanted to review it with you. So what Art Moore did is he covered some of the other journals and website news aggregators that reviewed a peer-reviewed study contending that the CDC violated federal law by inflating coronavirus fatality numbers by at least 1,600% or 16x. So if there were 100 deaths, the CDC would say there's 1,600 deaths. That's what that means, okay? Appalling. Inflated by at least this much. And the study asserts that this happened by the CDC willfully violating multiple federal laws, including Information Quality Act, Paperwork Reduction Act, Administrative Procedure Acts. And this was all written and reported by the National File. And then in January, WND reported that the World Health Organization admitted that the gold standard PCR test, and how long have I said that? It's very inaccurate because they're cycling too many times. Plus, it's only looking at a fragment. Causal fallacy in effect there. You're trying to relate the identification of a certain strand of genetic material to a specific pathogen, and that just doesn't happen here. So they suggested that since it's not too reliable, don't use it. Stop using it. No, they say test again. And it's kind of like throwing dice, folks. Sooner or later, you're going to get snake eyes, you know? And then the National File goes on to report that the CDC's quiet admission that blended viral and antibody test results also spiked the totals. And anybody can test positive for an antibody. You can get that from having a common cold or even a flu vaccine last year. So this article is very good, and I recommend that you go out and find it. I'll give you a quick link to it. It's tapnewswire.com. Go there and just look up CDC inflated COVID numbers. Very much worth reading. And, you know, all this information called scientism. So they use numbers and figures and facts not to illuminate the truth, but to drive you to a certain behavior through fear. That's scientism, folks. That's not science. And it leads to this very emotional piece about Representative Ron Wright. I don't know if you heard, he died this week. 67-year-old Representative Ron Wright died from coronavirus. Or did he? Folks, he was battling lung cancer. He died in Dallas, and God rest his soul. But he was battling lung cancer. And very few, if any, news outlets even mentioned lung cancer. Now, when you have lung cancer, typically you get chemotherapy, and chemotherapy destroys the immune system. I'm just saying. Yet the fake news, they don't even mention the lung cancer. And why do they do this? Well, they sow the population's collective mindset, okay? The meme of culture fear to embrace, Joe Biden said, if I become president, we're going to have 100 days of masking. Well, then you hear this news report about Rep. Wright dying, and then all of a sudden the 100-day masking becomes rest of the year masking, and everybody accepts it as okay. And then right on the tails of all this comes out this report, and all the major news media outlets pick it up. It was issued by the CDC, maximizing fit for cloth and medical procedure masks to improve performance and reduce SARS-CoV-2 transmission and exposure. This was published on February 10th, 2021. Now, it's appalling. John Brooks is the lead researcher on this, and you can get it at cdc.gov if you can't find it. I'll help you find it. But the summary is, what do we already know about this topic? Well, wearing a mask limits the spread of the disease, but does it, folks? We have other studies that they published that contradict that. And we've covered over and over again that there's nothing out there that actually justifies any of this. And then they go on to state in this article that they were spraying on dummies or from dummies a salt solution, potassium hydroxide, and the very low end of the particle size was the very high end of the virus size. So you had a little bit of an overlap. But the point here is, folks, that these sorts of masks have never been effective in stopping the spread of a virus. The CDC even came out and said that a while back. So this study uses dummies to emit a spray of a salt solution much larger in particle size than these viral particles, and they're claiming this is all good and this is all leading to something. But I'm telling you, folks, that's what it's worthy of, a buzz. And the reason is because it's a logical fallacy, specifically causal fallacy. But regardless, not a single major news outlet says anything but exactly what this article says. There's no critical journalism there. The science director of the Washington, let's even go to the Washington Post. I mean, the New York Post, a conservative, longstanding paper that gets a lot of heat. It didn't even do anything to pick this apart and look at the fallacies in it. And how about this report? We've covered this over and over again. Okay, the fact that we have new strains coming out now. Yet the methods they use to identify this cannot even confirm absolutely that there is a COVID-19 virus. You know, maybe it's all manipulation, I don't know, but let's just review what the CDC's done in the last year concerning face masks. First, they said they don't work, and we played those clips on here. Then we heard them say they might work. Then we heard them say, okay, definitely wear masks. No, we mean two masks. Folks, they have lost so much credibility. And people are starting to question so many things. It's waking up a lot of people. Even motivational speaker Tony Robbins. Did you hear him come out and talk about the whole scamdemic? Listen to Tony Robbins. He was on a Skype call. And this is Tony going off on the scamdemic.
Just go read John Hopkins' report. They took it down after one day, but 2 weeks ago they came out here in America. They took it down, but if you go on the Wayback Machine, you know, you can go back on your computer and go back in time on the web. So people have already published it again and again. And what it shows is the same number of people have died this year, 2020, has died in 2019, 2018, 2017, 2016, and 2015. 2.8 million people. It's within 10 to 15,000 people every year. The same number of old people died in 2020. The only difference is when they looked by disease. Heart disease, for the first time in 30 years, has come down. Cancer has come down. But COVID has gone up in the exact proportions. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Same number of people die. By the way, in case you haven't noticed, the flu has disappeared. It's flatlined. What are the symptoms of the flu? And by the way, flu kills people, and especially kills older people. So we're living in a world where a lot of people might be overreacting because they're trying to protect us because they thought it a 3% mortality rate or 4%. That would be a pandemic. But today, depending on whose research you read, it's 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, which is the same as the flu. And if you're under 50, it's way below that. So we live in a world that if we let people control our focus, we're just going to live in fear and do nothing. And we're going to be people that manage our circumstances.
Like I say, folks, fear is false evidence about reality. Fear is to Satan what faith is to Jesus. But we've got to move on. Now it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Tulka, Booty Theater, Injustice, Commies, Salt, Boo, means dance, dance, dance. He means skill from the verb, Kaboo, meaning to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve, the curvy economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money, or will hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all, Trump, bad, must go, good is bad, bad, bad is good, up is down, light is dark, it's all Kaboo Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for agenda 2030 and the new world war. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Yes, we have to wake up. We have to wake up at least 5 to 15% of the population if you want to see real change, folks. Did you hear this from MSNBC host? She's calling for drone strikes to be used against conservative Americans. I can't believe this is out there. That's pretty much what Nicole Wallace said. And she's in one of those little think tank talks like they always do. And we have Nicole Wallace talking about drone strikes against the American population. Listen to this.
And again, that's not us saying so, John Hyland. That is a bulletin released to all law enforcement earlier this week that there is, until the end of April, a persistent threat of domestic extremism, domestic terrorism carried out in the ideology and around this belief that the election was fraudulent, that the COVID restrictions are unnecessary. All of those ideologies pushed by Donald Trump. But my question for you is around incitement. We had a policy, and it was very controversial. It was carried out under the Bush years and under the Obama years of attacking terrorism at its root, of going after and killing, and in the case of Amar al-Awlaki, an American, a Yemeni American, with a drone strike for the crime of inciting violence, inciting terrorism. Mitch McConnell was in the Senate then. He was in the Senate after 9/11 too. How does Mitch McConnell, who understands that the way you root out terrorism is to take on, in the case of Islamic terrorism, kill those who incite it, how does he not vote to convict someone that he said on the floor of the Senate incited an insurrection?
Can you believe that, folks? Remember, Saul Alinsky said, accuse your opponent of doing what you intend to do. Folks, they're going to come and kill us if you don't go along to get along. This is a war. Right now, it's an unconventional fifth generation covert war being fought with information. But folks, all of these covert wars become overt wars. Actual third generation kinetic wars. And right now they don't have the high ground, folks. Right now they don't have the population. That's why there's all these National Guardsmen around Washington, D.C. That's why there are fences around Washington, D.C. And then Charlie Baker, who's the climate undersecretary for Massachusetts, he's on a Skype call with the Vermont tree huggers. And he says something that's completely appalling. He says that their mission is to break the Americans' will because Americans use 60% of all CO2 emitting fuels in the country to heat homes, power vehicles. Listen to what he says.
One thing that we found through our analysis is that 60% of our emissions come from, as I have been starting to say, you and me, except you guys are in Vermont. 60% of our emissions come from residential heating and passenger vehicles. So let me say that again. 60% of our emissions that need to be reduced come from you, the person on the street, the senior on fixed income, right? There is no bad guy left, at least in Massachusetts, to point the finger at, turn the screws on, and break their will so they stop emitting. That's you. We have to break your will, right? I can't even say that publicly. What I'm trying to say is.
Okay, so I had a mistake there. Charlie Baker wrote the piece for the New Boston Post. It was David Ismay, state undersecretary, who said that. So the chain of custody is a Zoom call that was released by a group called the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance Group. They released this clip from the Skype call on their YouTube page, and then Charlie Baker from the New Boston Post picked it up. It was a local piece. Of course, it never makes national news, these sorts of things. But we have to break the American will That's what this is all about. They're going to wear you down. The death of a thousand slices. Remember we talked about that last week? Folks, everywhere I look, I see this same stinking thinking. We're bad, okay? We have to be restricted in our behaviors. We have to be controlled in our behaviors. And this is horrible. This is what the whole pandemic, you know, remember, it wouldn't even been a pandemic unless the World Health Organization changed the definition of pandemic back in 2015. Folks, we're seeing this. And it's all about Agenda 21, which became Agenda 2030, and the World Economic Forum's Great Reset. How convenient, isn't it? And then even people, these woke people, these people that supported Biden, they're starting to wake up. Here's a kid. He was in his car after coming out of the pharmacy and realizing he couldn't afford his insulin for type 1 diabetes, and it was going to be a $2,000 copay for all of his test equipment and all the things he needed. And, you know, this is a kid who's got this sense of entitlement. Like, you'll hear in his rant that he say, "Oh, I didn't do anything to get this." Well, you know, that doesn't mean that I have to be forced at the tip of a gun to surrender my money to subsidize you. Now, if it's moved upon me by the Holy Spirit to do such a thing, perhaps I will. But listen to this. First of all, he's got voter remorse. Secondly, he's got an incredible sense of entitlement. And thirdly, he's a crybaby. But just listen to this.
Hi, everybody. So I'm just having a little freak out in my car because I just found out that my fucking diabetic supplies, like my insulin and my pump supplies, the things I need to live, are costing $2,000 a month. I'm 24. I only just got out of college before COVID hit, and I'm not making any good money. How am I supposed to pay $2,000 for something that I didn't do anything to get? America is fucking bullshit. Like, I can't afford to live. I have to pay for something I did not at all do anything to get. So I guess I'll just fucking die, okay?
So, did you catch all that in there? Did you catch that? Folks, we are in a mess, and that's all I can say. Now, I didn't get a bumper clip to transition into this new one yet, but remember old Henrietta? Henrietta, are you around here anymore? Where you at? Henrietta? Here, chicken. There she is. Okay. This is going to be our newest segment. And what I want to do in this segment, provided the Lord's willing, is I want to share with you how we can prepare for what I think may be coming here before Jesus returns. And that is some dark times. I don't mean they are spiritually dark, but they don't have to be for you and me. So right now we're seeing this unrestrained printing of money. And what it's doing is it's driving all these cryptocurrencies up in value. And this is typically what you see before the reserve currency is obliterated, typically through hyperinflation. So the key right now is to convert as many of your dollars into useful assets or stuff, okay? And what I'd like to focus on today very briefly is preparing your own long-term food storage packs. Now, you can buy those ones online, and if you have somebody you really learn a lot from and you want to support them, well, that's one way to support them. But your cost per unit weight of material will be very high. And it doesn't have to be, because you can make your own storage packs by buying bulk dry goods. And those are the things you can get, like rice and beans and different dry materials, pastas, in bulk from places like Sam's Club, Costco, Restaurant Depot. If you have a business, you just provide your business a copy of your business check. They'll give you a membership card, and you can go in there and buy things at restaurant prices. Or even the dollar store, folks, or the bulk aisle at Walmart. Then you want to collect some food-grade plastic storage containers, from 2.5-gallon buckets all the way up to 55-gallon drums. Make sure they're food-grade plastic with a sealable gasket. And a really good one, if you're going to go used, would be the bakery buckets. They're 2.5 and 5, and I think 6 gallons. A lot of people are doing them now. So you go to your local baker or you go to your local grocery store with the in-store bakery and ask them to save those for you. And I used to do that when I was prepping. And I have a lot sealed that way. And you can also go to these repackers that buy the olives and pepperoncinis from Italy in those 35-gallon kind of like a brown oval drum with a spin-on lid with a gasket. And what you do is you make sure they're extremely clean. So clean them out with a mild bleach and Dawn detergent solution. Get them real nice and clean. Dry them completely. They have to be absolutely completely dry, preferably in the sun if you can, because UV is a very good disinfectant. Make sure they're totally dry. Then you want to put a layer of rock salt down on the bottom, about an inch thick. Lay some bay leaves on top of that. The rock salt's a natural desiccant, and the bay leaf is a natural insecticide. And then you want to put a piece of craft paper down on top of that, and then layer your dry goods, maybe about 6-8 inches thick, and then another layer of craft paper, and then the same procedure. Some rock salt and some bay leaves, and then another layer of craft paper and some more material, and you want to build this up to the top. And then on the very top, put another layer of craft paper and put a block of dry ice on there and allow it to sublimate. And you can get that at welding supply stores, and people used to use it in their picnic baskets to preserve food, but you're not doing it for the cooling effect. You're doing it for the CO2 sublimation. So what happens is CO2 is denser than air, and it'll fill that barrel up. And once it's fully sublimated, remove that sheet of craft paper, because it's going to have some condensation on it. Put another layer of craft paper in, some more rock salt and bay leaves, and then put the lid on and seal it up tight. And folks, you are going to have a well-preserved bulk storage container with whatever material you put in it, rice, beans, pasta. And I'll tell you what, folks, that'll get you through to the next phase where we start to grow our own food. So that's the Henrietta up for this week. Now it's time to move on to our hopium update. And we remember, we have this hopium report now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on hopium.
Now, there's a movement out there. You could call it the Q movement. You could call it the Patriot movement. Whatever you want to call it, there's these people out there that don't put their hope in the Lord. They don't put their faith in the Lord. What they're doing is they're grabbing at straws, in my opinion. Now, I pray they're right, and there's a lot of very interesting correlations to what they draw. Like, there's this guy named Robert Numbers. He's out with Simon Parks and Charlie Ward. He's talking about all the numbers, like when you add up the numbers in Donald Trump's name, or you add up the numbers in Arizona, A to Z is their abbreviation. He's making all these correlations, and yeah, that's interesting. And what they do is they say, and this correlates to what you saw in the movie Interstellar when he communicated with his daughter through the books on the bookshelf. And if you didn't see the movie, the whole premise here is that we're in a matrix and there's all this fifth dimensional chess being played by people from the future that are communicating with us. I know it sounds a little absurd. That's where a lot of these people are. Now, me, I put my trust in the Lord, folks, and I'm looking around and it looks pretty dire. But you know, we have the blessed hope, and the blessed hope is Jesus Christ and his soon return. And when he comes back, he's going to make all wrongs right, and he's going to judge these people. Now, I'm thinking, praying about this, but we could probably just put it in this hopium update. And that's the opposite of what these people are doing, and that's the people on the far left, the absurdians, we can call them. Listen to this report. White House interpreter loses her position because she's a Trump supporter. This was out in the Neon Nettle. Now, Heather Murshaw, she was the signer during the Trump administration, so she was the little person you'd see doing the sign language in the bottom corner of some of the press announcements and that. That's for the hearing impaired. Well, she had a MAGA hat, and I guess somebody in the Biden administration found out about it. So she got fired. But isn't that completely contradictory to what they've been forcing bakers and photographers to do with homosexual weddings? Isn't that completely the opposite? Or how about this one? The European court has a case before it right now to decide if pornography is a human right. LifeSite News had this, and they just got deplatformed. But the European Court of Human Rights has agreed to hear a complaint that was lodged by a double murderer saying that his life in prison sentence is actually violating his human rights because he had his pornography confiscated by prison authorities. So according to the European Center for Law and Justice, the convicted murderer asserts that his privacy has been violated and his freedom of expression has been violated because he had his porn confiscated. Folks, you can't make these things up. And then, did you hear about the Gorilla Glue girl? I mean, how much crazier can this get? So these kind of things go viral. This information I'm sharing now with the Gorilla Girl, she is actually a TikTok sensation now. She has a YouTube channel. She has hired a media expert. And I think she's going to sue Gorilla Glue. Remember the woman who sued McDonald's because she burned herself on hot coffee? Listen to this 1 minute and 30 second clip on the TikTok girl who used Gorilla Glue in her hair.
This woman is in a very sticky situation. She ran out of hairspray and used something that may shock you.
I used this. Gorilla Glue spray.
You heard right. The same Gorilla Super Glue from those wacky commercials.
Gorilla Spray Adhesive for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
Now Tessica Brown has big regrets.
Bad idea. Yo, look. My hair... it don't move. You hear what I'm telling you? It don't move. I've washed my hair 15 times, and it don't move.
What have you used to try to get it out?
We did the baby oil. We did cooking oil, olive oil.
She also tried washing it out with shampoo. Nothing got rid of the glue. So Tessica posted this video on TikTok, hoping for advice. Instead, she was ridiculed.
Gorilla Glue woman. Dumbest girl on the face of the earth.
Tessica even sought medical treatment at her local emergency room in Louisiana, but couldn't tolerate the burning of the acetone wipes they gave her.
What is your biggest fear?
I'm going to lose my hair. All of it.
Gorilla Glue says they're sorry, but says their product should never be used on hair.
Folks, that really happened. So what we have going on in our culture is that anyone who tries to speak the truth, anyone who tries to use logic and reason to caution people about potentially dangerous side effects of an experimental medical device being foisted upon the public as a vaccination, anyone who questions happened in election 2020 when the most popular president in perhaps the last 150 years loses to a man who didn't even campaign and admitted that he had a voter fraud organization built under the Obama administration. Anytime you question anything that goes against current narrative of this regime, you get deplatformed. But if you do something stupid, you become a media sensation. Well, I hope in this next segment, Ken's Corner, and explain why. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. Now, about 10 years ago, I read a book. It was titled Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion by a guy named Robert Cialdini. He's a PhD, one of those, you know, thinkers. And I read the book and it had some impact on me. I didn't think much of it. And then last week I saw an article, I think Sister Kathy sent it to me, from Global Research called Mass Manipulation, How It Works, Global Research Center for Research on Globalization. I don't know why I clicked on it, but I did. And there I see that a book review was done by this man named Peter Koehling, and he was a geopolitical analyst, senior economist at the World Bank and the World Health Organization, and he reviewed this book. Now, he didn't review it as a warning, and it was given to me as a warning so I could understand the ways of the enemy, kind of what Sun Tzu was talking about. So I read it with that. He didn't read it like that. He read it as a way to herd the sheep to the slaughter. He read it as a way for the movers and shakers, the deep state, the swamp people, the establishment, to manipulate the minds of the masses. So that's how this was done. And even in his review, he talks about Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's minister of propaganda, who said, if you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes truth. If you make people believe in the threat of an enemy, they'll do your bidding. And divide and polarize them, destroy their solidarity, and they follow your command. So this is the premise with which Peter Cohen did a book review on this book. And I'm like, oh, dear God, they're actually doing this. So today we're flattered by the establishment to think we're well-informed. Yet they're still using these methods on us. Is very sophisticated, and one is fear. That's their weapon of choice. Remember what I told you. Fear is false evidence about reality, okay? And fear is to Satan what faith is to Jesus. So what they'll do is they'll concoct an invisible enemy, global warming, the coronavirus, and they'll get everybody afraid of it. Oh, did you hear that Greta Thunberg, or whatever that little wacko girl from Norway is with regard to global warming? She's admitted that she has handlers, and she admitted that she's being used. But anyways, we have this invisible enemy, and right now it's COVID-19 and all of the derivatives that are coming. And they have this incredibly powerful AI technology now that can digitally and electronically monitor public response, and they can use algorithms and robots to focus our thinking, and there have been movies and documentaries out on that. And they can actually adjust or move public opinion. It's Tavistock on steroids. Edward Bernays would be applauding from his grave if he could, folks. So they know everything from what website you go to, and you're starting to see now that they want to use your web history to define your credit score. And that's going to all lead to your social credit score, which will determine how much of your universal basic income you're going to be entitled to that month. So they have all of this, and it's to move the sheeple to the slaughterhouse, so to speak. So this book that I talked about, Influence, The Power of Persuasion, which had an incredible impact on me 10 years ago or whatever it was when it came out, it's a classic on persuasion and explains the psychology of why people say yes and how to apply these things to manipulate them. Listen to the bio on this latest edition of it, of Dr. Robert Cialdini, I guess is how you say it. But listen to what his bio says. 35 years of rigorous evidence-based research, along with a 3-year program of study on what moves people to change behavior, has resulted in this highly acclaimed book. And you'll learn universal principles on how to use them to become a skilled persuader and how to defend yourself against them. Now, that's what I got out of the book. In all walks of life, the principles of influence will move you towards profound personal change and act as a driving force for your success. Now, they use this sort of methodology along with the Delphi method, talking points, and all these other ways to sway public opinion. We could do show after show after show, but I just want to go over some of these key points. One is fractionalization. And what do we mean by that? Well, they get the sheeple to do something, not once, but over and over again. And each time they increase the level of intensity. And they usually do that at least 3 times, possibly more. And didn't they do that with the lockdowns? First it was for 2 weeks, and then they had extensions, and they got more draconian. That's fractionalization. And what it does is it makes the sheeple much more likely to do whatever you want them to do the next time with a little bit more compliance, a little bit more restriction. And then they have what they call a yes set. And this is where they get the sheeple to say yes to something small at first, like that 2 weeks stay at home, lockdown. I even got sucked into it for the first 2 weeks. We binge watched so much on Netflix that after a while I realized this isn't normal. This isn't healthy. And then I woke up. I mean, I was already awake to truth, but, you know, you think, boy, if there's something really dangerous out there, some kind of pathogen, we do have to be careful. And then you start to see this. And they gradually increase it you know, months of lockdowns. Christmas was canceled and all these crazy things. Imagine if they told you last March they were going to cancel Christmas. There would have been riots in the streets. And this moves to another form of manipulation called confusion. Keep the sheeple in a constant state of uncertainty. And isn't that what they did? And when you do that, you get into this thing called cognitive dissonance, B.F. Skinner's cognitive dissonance. And then the mind responds by going offline, and it tries to find an appropriate response for something that it has no basis or past experience of. And so it's so much easier when people are in this state of confusion for the deep state and the mainstream media to gain access to your subconscious and actually start to work on your belief systems. And they do this, they were doing it with the lockdown rules changing practically on a day-to-day basis. You remember all those updates even the Trump administration was giving us? Well, they're doing that because they're managing your mind. You stumble around, you don't know how to respond. And then that leads to this other method called repetition. Repeat the same information over and over again. And I don't think I need to say anything more on that, do I? And then they create an illusion of choice. They make the sheeple believe that they're in control by giving them two choices, both of which lead to the same result. For example, they'll say, you want the Pfizer drug or you want the Moderna drug? And either one, you're still getting the same thing. And then there's social proof. And what's that? That's when you get all these celebrities telling you not to be a mask hole. You know, put your mask on. You know, from Chris Wallace to all of these movie stars on those public service commercials. And then they get into the whole idea of scarcity. You know, you'll have to wait your turn for the vaccine. We might be running out. And then people say, oh, when can I get mine? Folks, it's not even a vaccination. It's a form of gene therapy. The most similar thing I could talk about, and it's not the same mechanistically, although the outcome is the same, and that's to stimulate your immune system. The most analogous thing I can find that's currently being used is the immunotherapy with certain sorts of cancer patients, where they trigger your immune system, go in there and destroy the cancer. And that's what they're trying to do with this mRNA device. Yet it's being sold to the public as a vaccine. Remember, it's not FDA approved because it fails in phase 3. And why does it fail? Because of the high mortality rates of the test animals when they're reinfected with the target pathogen. They die from this autoimmune response that goes into hyperdrive. It's called a cytochrome storm. And yet Big Pharma is protected from any lawsuits for malpractice. But I'm digressing. I got to get back to this whole mass mind control methodology, okay? So there's all of these that I've covered and many more, and they're all classic psychological control techniques. Like I said, Edward Bernays would be plotting from his grave if he could. And this is Tavistock Institute on steroids. And I'm telling you, once you see the way they use it in mass media, in the fake news, you can't ever unsee it. You're truly awakened at that point. So I encourage you to check out that book, Influence, The Power of Persuasion, and read it, understand it. And I'm telling you, all these methods he talks about, they're being used daily, right now, on us. And folks, if 5 to 15% of us could just wake up and realize this in time to do that right now. You know, the deep states, they're using COVID for much more than public health. In fact, It's a method to encroach upon freedom, and that's their ultimate goal, total control of humanity, total control of our behavior, our food, our resources, and the WEF, the World Economic Forum. They're referring to this as the Great Reset. But did you hear what Putin told Klaus Schwab, founder of the WEF, at the virtual Davos meeting last week? He said your entire idea of the Great Reset isn't only doomed to failure, but it runs counter to everything modern leadership should be pursuing. He literally laughed at the idea of the WEF's fourth industrial revolution. You know, that was Schwab's idea of a planned society through AI and robots and the merging of man and machine and rethinking capitalism, moving from shareholder to stakeholder capitalism. You know, Putin flat out told him that these policies are driving the middle class to the brink of bankruptcy and extinction over this pandemic. which will further increase social and political unrest while ensuring wealth inequalities that the world has never seen. Remember the 1% movement? Folks, it'll go stratospheric. You know, there's these hopium people in the Patriot movement and the Q movement who think we're going to have Nasara, Jassara, and the Great Reset, and Trump has reacquired all the gold from the black nobility. But this is the end of the debt banking system with the collapse of the ultimate of all bubbles, and they're going to have global communism. That's their goal. Now, it wasn't just Putin, but Chairman Xi got up and basically said the same thing in a very politically correct way. So bottom line, together, the leader of Russia, Putin, and the leader of communist China, Xi, both basically told the World Economic Forum to stuff the Great Reset back into the hole from which it was conceived. Folks, think about this. This is serious information. So it's going to determine whether people live or die. Remember Deagle 2025 we just covered? Plus the winner of this fifth generation non-conventional covert war is going to determine ownership and control of the world's natural resources. And maybe perhaps even who owns your house you live in or your farm that you live on. We've got to break out of this sheeple mentality, this herd mentality, because the herd's stampeding to the cliff right now, or they're running right to the slaughterhouse. Look at it either way. So we got to wake up people, and we've got to encourage peaceful protesting, civil disobedience, reconnecting with each other. These are crucial things to do right now. Form your local neighborhood watch groups. Get together, join a gun club. Get to know your neighbors. Get to know where they're at with their thinking. And folks, I could go on and on with this, but now it's time for the next segment, which is our Back to the Future. And in this episode of Back to the Future, folks, I hope that I'll be able to share something with you from the past that'll help you understand why we're at where we're at and why we have to wake up. Now, in this segment, what I'd like to do, okay, is read a quote from Lenin, okay, one of the ringleaders. There was Lenin, Stalin, and Trotsky from the Khazarian Mafia. They weren't even Russians, so to speak, who basically destroyed the most civilized country in the world at that point, Russia. And I encourage you folks, the movies on the holodrama, how they starved out the Ukrainians who were resisting. And then go back and watch the Netflix miniseries, The Last Tsar. But listen to this quote from, actually it's Stalin. But Stalin was the replacement for Lenin. And he was even more draconian than Lenin. But listen to what Stalin said. America's like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold. Its patriotism, its morality, and its spiritual life. If we can undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. And that's exactly what they're doing, folks. That's exactly what a lot of these executive orders reversing President Trump's policies are doing. It's destroying patriotism, morality, and our spiritual life as a nation. Now, how's this apply today? Well, did you hear this story about the Georgia school teacher, the substitute teacher arrested after she was caught masturbating classroom? Amelia Ressler, 30 years old from Carrollton, North Carolina, or Georgia, was allegedly filmed. She was on Instagram. In her classroom at Mount Zion Elementary School, and this was reported by news station WAGA, and this is a quote, it appears that she was masturbating while in the classroom full of kids, and that's from the Carroll County Sheriff's Office, spokesman Ashley Halsley telling the news station WAGA. Halsley slammed the incident as disturbing, adding that the kids could have seen her touch herself. This is appalling, folks, and I apologize for sharing it. But remember what Stalin said. If you can undermine the morality and spiritual life of the nation, they'll destroy and collapse from within. And this is what some of the Roman senators knew would be the only way that Rome would ever collapse, and that's exactly what happened. Now, folks, this story in and of itself is tragic enough, and she's arrested and up on 19 cases or counts of child abuse and some other things involving inappropriate behavior with minors. So I'm reading this article, and I read it on the That was the NewYorkPost.com. And down on the left-hand column, they had some other related teacher stories. I'm just going to read you the headlines on four of them. Chicago begins return to classroom after bitter union fight. Now, the union was fighting. They didn't want to go back to teach. Substitute teacher accused of multiple sex romps with her teen student. That was the second headline. Special ed teacher learns her fate for having sex with vulnerable teen she was tutoring. Boy, that's perverted on many levels. And then this last one, waiting for you. Teacher accused of seducing teen, sending lewd pics on Snapchat. And then there was another one. It wasn't completely the same, but it was about a CYS worker, Christian Children Youth Services worker, with all these quote-unquote disappeared children, and they later found that she was part of a sex trafficking ring for minors. Folks, this stuff is sickening, and part of it comes from what's being taught in the classroom. We're being taught all sorts of perversions, all sorts of sick ways, and humanism is at the core of it. There's humanism in education, and it sounds good because, you know, it sounds so much like humanitarianism, which is good. But it isn't good. Word humanism, when you unpack it, you'll see that it doesn't believe in God or a creator. That's why we have evolution. They say that man is the sum and substance, the center and circumference of all there is. That's what humanism is, folks. And the chief building block of this humanistic education system is evolution. So if you start to teach the children that they came from green algae in a pond after a lightning bolt struck it and started this whole process of mutation. If you say you're an educated man, when you believe this make-believe monkey mythology, what do you expect? People are going to act like animals. And yet it's referred to as scientific when actually it's just nothing but religion in reverse. It's the humanist's attempt to explain everything apart from God, and ironically, they call it scientific, present scientific creationism, they call it a religion. But what they're saying is based on a belief, and their belief is that there's nothing but matter and the motion of matter. So they teach this lie of evolution a science fact, and then they cap it off with this sex education. I mean, did you hear some of the stuff Glenn Beck covered, what they're going to teach kindergarten students concerning sex? At these public schools, they're going on and on with all kinds of craziness. Now we have this trans, cis, this gender garbage. Come on, folks. Now, the problem is with sex education that the schools aren't built on a standard of morality. That's the other thing that Stalin was saying, when we can undermine the morality of America, so there's no genuine moral values. They're just telling you how the plumbing's supposed to work. Actually, now they've got the plumbing all mixed up, if you know what I mean. So if they take a position that unrestrained, unrestricted, promiscuous sex has no consequences, there's no genuine moral values. So what they're teaching isn't really sex education. They're just teaching people how to do it in the conventional manner and the unconventional manners, so you don't catch a disease or have a baby. But bottom line, you've destroyed the morality and spirituality of the entire body politic. Plus, our children are facing hedonism right now. That's a society soaked with booze and porn. The Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And the Bible says fools make a mock of sin. So, folks, I encourage you, know who your children hang out with. know what they're doing on the internet, and recognize that this is a conflict. It's on a spiritual level, and understand who's behind all of this, from the alcohol industry to the entertainment industry to the education system, and even now this whole recreational marijuana thing. The mastermind behind it all is none other than Lucifer himself. I'm telling you, folks, this is a spiritual war. That's what it is. It's a spiritual war. And remember, the Bible says that they were not afraid of the king's command because by faith they saw beyond the king to the King of Kings. And that's none other than Jesus himself. So remember, folks, we're in a war. It's a spiritual war, okay? And the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the warrior and his adversary, and that's the devil. We're not battling that woke woman down the road, you know, Karen with her face mask rant. No, our adversary is the devil. And Sun Tzu said that when you know yourself, you win half the time. When you know your enemy, you win the other half the time. And when you know your enemy and yourself, you win all the time. So we've covered who we are as Christian warriors and who our adversary is, the devil. And then last week we looked at ourselves as warriors and what our armor was. And then this week, what I'd like to do is wrap up this three-part study on this war we're fighting in the heavenlies and look at the Christian armor and our attack. So folks, we can't sit in the sidelines. We can't sit this out. This isn't a game. This is a war with no bullets. This is a war of information. So we have to join this battle. It's not simply enough to put the armor of God on. We have to get into the fight. So as Christians, how do we do this? Well, sadly, so many of us only want to dress up in the armor and then sit at home and pretend to play at spiritual warfare. You know, once there were some boys sitting around laughing and talking, and one of the moms came out and said, "What are you guys doing?" And they said, "We're playing war." And she said, "Well, you don't look like you're playing war." She said, "Well, we are. We're all the generals." And today I've noticed that in the church, we all want to be generals rather than foot soldiers in God's army. And we just want to play war. But the truth is that there are three things that we must do to assure our victory in this spiritual war. First of all, we have to look at our stance. And in verse 13, Paul says, "Put on the armor of God that you may be able to withstand. And having done all, to stand." And then notice in verse 14, "Stand therefore." Did you hear that? Withstand, stand, and stand. And that means we need to have a place to fight from. So please realize that we're to stand in victory, a victory that Jesus Christ has already won. And then notice what Paul says in verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." So when we get into this battle on the victory of Jesus Christ, the victory that Jesus already won at the cross. So get this, we don't fight for a victory as Christians, we fight from victory. So that's our place where we stand, okay? We stand on the rock of truth, the truth of the Word of God, and we're going to stand there, okay? And we're going to know that the battle's already won at Calvary. And did you hear about that tweet that was brought up? This is just a little side note. That tweet that was brought up in the in the impeachment hearings in the Senate this week, and they falsified that woman's retweet from President Trump. They verified her account. She wasn't a verified account. And they took the word Calvary and made it Calvary, cavalry, you know, the armed horsemen. No, this woman was talking about the cross at Calvary. The Bible says in Revelation 12, "By the blood of the Lamb, they have overcome Satan." And that's our stance, and that's what that woman understood. And the media flipped it. She was talking about a spiritual war, folks. So our stance is very important. And then there's the power of the sword. Again, from verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is, and that, there's two ways that we can understand the Word of God. One is logos, that's the printed word. The other is rhema, or the spiritual illuminated Word of God. So we've looked at all the protective armor, and we've looked at the helmet and the breastplate and the shield and the belt and the shoes. And then we need His Word, the sword, to go into battle. So God's given us the place to stand, and He's given us His sword or power to fight with. So take that sword of the Spirit, okay? But recognize how you're to use it. It's a very powerful sword. It's not like any other sword. And it's not my sword. It's not Bro Ken's sword. It's not your sword. It's not Kathy's sword. It's not Jonathan's sword. It's the sword of the Lord. It's the sword of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God, that Bible is quick. That means it's alive, powerful, full of energy, folks. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise the Lord. And that's why I love the Bible, because I know power from God Most High in that word. Remember, when Jesus was fasting for 40 days, and he fasted those 40 days and those 40 nights, that devil came not once, not twice, but three times, and he used the Logos word. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. But Jesus pulled out his sword and spoke the Rhema word, okay? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then Satan comes again and tempts Jesus with the Logos word. And again, Jesus spoke the Rhema word and says, it is written. You know, three times Jesus spoke the Rhema word and ran Satan through with that blessed blade, that two-edged sword, the sword of the Spirit. Folks, I'm telling you, there's a place, and that's our stance. There's a power, and that's the sword we're given, the word of God, the Rhema word of God. And finally, let's understand the difference between the Logos and the Rhema word a little bit deeper. And I'm going to use that by saying there's the provision of the Spirit. So once we're dressed up in the armor, standing in the finished work at Calvary, not Calvary, the Rhema word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and then we look to heaven for our supply, that means there's this continue communion between our spirit and God's spirit. Okay? So the Logos word, which is all that Satan knows, becomes the Rhema word, which is full of power. That's the difference between the five wise and the five foolish virgins in Matthew 25. So Satan thought he knew the Logos, or written word, and he tried to speak it, but he was cut off from God's heavenly supply of illumination. He didn't have the revealing Rhema word, verse 17, which Jesus used against him in the desert, because Jesus knew and spoke the Rhema word. Why? Because he was in constant fellowship with the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, folks, not only was Jesus' spirit filled with the Holy Spirit, but his vessel, his very body, was overflowing with extra oil, which kept God's lamp, his spirit, burning. So in other words, it wasn't only Jesus being spirit-filled with the Holy Spirit, but his vessel had all this extra oil, so his lamp never went out. Jesus continually walked every moment of every day in fellowship with the Father through the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that's the same way God intends you and me to walk, folks. In verse 18, Paul says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So through prayer in the Spirit is where our supply comes from. And that supply is the Rhema word, folks. Now, every warrior needs a supply, and every warrior needs a commander in chief to guide and direct them. So battlefield logistics, battlefield control and command, that all comes to us through the Holy Spirit. And remember, we had victory with the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross at Calvary. So we're to take that Rhema word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and offer our prayers to our heavenly commander, praying always with all prayer and supplication. How? In the Spirit. So this isn't just mumbo jumbo mumbling of words. No, it's a spirit directing your prayer. It's the spirit understanding your prayer. And it's the spirit knowing what Satan's up to. And folks, if we don't understand what Satan's up to, we're not going to win this battle. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So folks, we're never going to understand this, but God does. So that's why we need to be linked to him in fellowship. That's why we need to have the Logos word transformed into the Rhema word, which is the sword of the Spirit. And then one final truth, and I'll wrap this up, okay? Christian warrior, that's you and me and our allies. That's each other. Forsake not the fellowship of the brethren. We're to unite forces. Paul tells us so, you know, in verses 18 and 19, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that others may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. So Paul was a warrior, but he knew that he didn't fight alone. He knew that he didn't pray alone. He had one another with him, and they were all in that fight together. And likewise, that's how we have to be. We're not one man, one woman armies. No, we can't be standing alone fighting for ourselves. The Bible says, one should chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. So there's this synergy that brings this divine energy when we fight together. So you and I need each other. We need to lock arms, join forces, and fight the enemy, Satan, together. Now, did you know that God intended the church building to be nothing more than a big battle station? That's all it was ever supposed to be. It's a place where we go to reinforce ourselves, to get spiritual intuition, spiritual power, spiritual encouragement from one another, and most importantly, through our worship of our high and holy God. And then we can go out into the world, into this fight, and fight, not against one another, not against the other people on the other side of the argument, but against our common enemy, Lucifer and his lies. And that's why I'm so heartbroken when I see so many of the soldiers of the army of Christ, AWOL. They literally, folks, they're AWOL. I see so many people who think they can come to church on Sundays or watch it on TV now. And just by doing that, they've done God some incredible favor. And I even see the leadership encouraging this attitude right now. So many are out there and they just want their people to sit, soak, and sour. And when you do that, and then afterwards, they'll have their little coffee reception with their donuts and people will come and party and play. And sadly, no one's fighting a good fight, or very few are. And then think that by doing this, they're somehow going to influence the ship of state towards that reef, that Marxist reef of communism, and we're going to have a shipwreck on a global scale that nobody's ever seen. And they say, well, God's got it all under control. We're not going to get into conflicts involving politics. We're going to stay out of politics. Friends, I'm telling you, if you don't do this, if you don't engage in this information war, all good has to do for evil to prevail is nothing, folks. So this is a battle, and I hope you remember that. Choose your sides carefully and know your enemy, also known as Satan, also known as Lucifer, the devil, and know his Luciferian man-centered doctrines, because if you don't, you're going to be swept away, folks. And you're going to end up on the losing side, even by nothing more than inactivity or indecision. And then examine your heart. Make sure you've got it all right with God. Make sure you're fully armed up with his armor. I'm going to say that again. You can't just go along to get along. Remember, this is a cosmic age-old battle, a fight to the finish. And Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. So forget about being politically correct. Okay, and begin the practice of righteousness, his righteousness, not self-righteousness, and then just rejoice, knowing that he won the victory at Calvary. He said, Telestai, it is finished. And remember always, folks, that you are operating from a position of victory, not for victory. And by the way, folks, then when you've done all of this, just thank God as you walk in his victory. But remember, you have to choose to do that. And that's what free will is all about. It actually comes into our lives. Our free wills are activated after the fight, after we're saved. But that's a study for another day. So until next week, provided the Lord's willing, go out there and stand, and then stand some more. And remember, in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And then, folks, let's lift our hands up and remember that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that same power, the power of the Holy Spirit, lives in you and me. Thank you, Jesus.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.